Which is heavier, a gallon of water or a gallon of butane? The answer, obviously, is water, because butane is a lighter fluid. On the merits of that joke, you might say I killed it, or maybe not. In comedy, for a comedian to kill it simply means the comedian did something incredibly well. But it's used in areas beyond comedy, such as, you killed it on the baseball field today, or you really killed that interview. Although, I've never heard anyone tell a priest, wow, Father, you really killed in the confessional today. And I'm not sure how I'd take it if someone told me I killed our podcast. Regardless, killed also has a literal meaning, such as being killed for your comedy, which was the case with St. Genesius, who killed it in both ways. His fate coming up on this episode of Catholic History Trek.
God bless America.
God love you. I want these to be my first words of greeting to you. They will be the concluding words on each broadcast.
I am not the Catholic candidate for president. I am the Democratic Party's candidate for president.
Annuncio officiis gaudium magnum. Habemus papam.
You've embarked on a Catholic history trek.
There's a mid-1970s song titled Mamas Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Become Cowboys by Ed Bruce. A version recorded by Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson peaked at number one on the country music charts in 1978. The lyrics speak of the many reasons not to become a cowboy. In ancient Roman society, the attitude was more like, Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to become actors. Unlike today, when Hollywood's top stars are praised and promoted by the mainstream media as icons of culture, and unlike Greek culture, which held a high view of the actors who performed their great comedies and tragedies, the Roman profession was less respectful. Performances were boisterous and risque, and even vulgar, crude, and immodest, in every way imaginable. Actors were often slaves, foreigners, and the dregs of society. Given the inappropriate nature of the shows, women did not enter the profession during the Roman Republic, but that changed during the imperial era, with a number of famous actresses emerging, including Claudia Acti, who was one of Nero's mistresses. Not much is known about her, except she was bought as a slave in Asia, later freed, and Nero was infatuated with her. It's often been assumed she became a Christian, because she had slaves who became Christian, she disappeared for a while, which some assume was a banishment for becoming a Christian, and she performed the corporal work of mercy of burying the dead. When Nero's inner circle of associates were content to leave his corpse to rot, she alone worked to have his body buried and laid to rest. The early church was highly disapproving of the obscene language and acts performed on the Roman stage, and worked to free any trapped in that profession. In turn, many stage acts were highly disapproving of Christianity, and were critical of the church and her rights, even after Christianity was legalized throughout the empire. One such actor who had no love for Christianity was the popular comedian Genesius, who lived in the second half of the 3rd century. As told in the 7th century compilation of the Acts of the Martyrs, this skilled actor conceived a plan for his troupe to perform a parody of Christianity for the Emperor Diocletian, who is due to make a rare visit to Rome in the summer of 303. Given the emperor's hatred of Christianity, this blasphemous mockery could land Genesius praise and higher standing within Roman society. To study the part, Genesius used his acting skills to infiltrate the Christian community, convincing them he wished to become a Christian, and so they accepted him as a catechumen. After he learned enough to mock the sacrament of baptism, he abandoned the catechumenate and began to compose the comedy. With the Emperor Diocletian present, Genesius played the part of a sick man on his deathbed, crying out to be baptized. Another actor then came to the stage, playing the role of a priest, to pretend to baptize him. But at that moment, Genesius suddenly had an interior illumination and was filled with a real desire to be baptized. After the other actor pretended to baptize Genesius, he had a vision of an angel holding a book upon which all his sins had been written, and the angel then immersed the book into the waters of baptism, turning the pages pure white. With the Emperor and the other actors believing Genasius was still in character, the play continued. Actors came and clothed him in white robes of the neophyte, and others, dressed as soldiers, seized him and presented him to the Emperor Diocletian. But it became apparent to the Emperor and the gathered crowd that Genasius was no longer acting, as he reportedly proclaimed, "I came here today to please an earthly emperor, but what I have done is to please a heavenly king. I come here to give you laughter, but what I have done is to give joy to God and his angels. From this moment on, believe me, I will never mock these great mysteries again. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ is the true God, the light, the truth, and the mercy of all who have received his gift of baptism. O great emperor, believe in these mysteries. I will teach you, and you will know, the Lord Jesus Christ is the true God." Obviously, Diocletian was not amused. Genasius and his troop were arrested, and while his colleagues were released, Genasius remained persistent in proclaiming the faith. The emperor then had Genasius beaten and handed him over to the prefect of the praetorium, who then had Genasius stretched upon a rack, ripped and torn with iron hooks, and burned with torches. Finally, he was beheaded as a martyr of the faith. While his mock baptism was not a real water baptism, Genasius did receive the baptism of blood and baptism of desire, which was accounted as baptism for those who were martyred before they could receive the official sacramental water baptism. There are conflicting dates of his martyrdom, some list it in the year 285, at the beginning of Diocletian's reign, while most place it in the year 303, which aligns with Diocletian's infamous persecution of Christianity. Not only has the date of his martyrdom been questioned, but so has his existence. Some insist his tradition is nothing more than a Romanization of St. Genasius from southern France, who also died in the Diocletian persecution. Although, I'm not sure why it's impossible to imagine there were two people with the same name who died during the same wide-scale persecution. Regardless, evidence of veneration to St. Genasius in Rome can be traced to the 4th century, as can the traditional sites of his tombs, with Pope Gregory III in 741 repairing and enhancing an already ancient church which had been built in his honor. Also, renowned 17th century historian Louis Sebastian Tillemont accepted the authenticity of the Acts of the Martyrs, which further attest to his life and martyrdom. While some may question the reliability of the account of St. Genasius, one thing that is not in question is the importance of subscribing and leaving a rating or review for Catholic History Trek. And, if you feel so inclined, you could always donate to our free podcast. You can find us on PayPal at catholichistorytrek@gmail.com. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sicuterat in principio et nunc et semper et in saecula saeculorum. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Catholic History Trek. You can reach us at catholichistorytrek@gmail.com.